God, that he's allowed me to come this morning. For the virtue of those who are on Facebook and YouTube, and for the deacons who have allowed me to come before you this morning, see, I don't take this for granted, neither my strength or my health. For the choir who's been singing so beautifully, to any visitors might be in the house this morning, to my brothers in the proclamation of the gospel and my sister in the proclamation of the gospel this morning, I thank you all for being here this morning. I come just as I am, without one plea. I'm not copying a plea this morning that what I can do, what I can't do. I'm not going to bust a move to let you know that I'm this or that. But I come as a weary traveler. I come, the word of God has given me to think about friendship That's what my sermon is about. I thought about birds going south in a formation, in a V form. You know, they got one in front that's leading the whole flock. And if you look at them carefully, it's uniformly. None trying to get in front of the other. And none trying to fly on this side or that side. They're flying in a V form, which means for victory. Can I get a witness this morning? I need a praying church, because if you're going to be a friend of God, you're going to have to be a friend of man. Can I get a witness? And so my sermon is a short sermon this morning. My scripture reading is from 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, 16 through 22. And my text is verse 23. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you want to look at the screen, you can. But we'll read, hopefully, that you will catch what I'm trying to say to you all this morning. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him. Y'all pray with me now. Because he loved him as he loved himself. I'm going to say that again. Because he loved him as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is a new moon festival, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow, towards evening, go to the place where you hid when the trouble began and wait by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I was shooting at a target. And the 23rd verse says, as I use for my text, "And about the matter you discussed, remember the Lord is witness between you and me forever. May you take your seats in the household of the Lord." Lord, may the meditation of my heart be acceptable, and the words I say, may somebody hear them with grace and mercy. You want to be a friend of yours, Jesus, who is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Dear Lord, may we all think about one another as our brother's keeper. Give this servant, dear Lord, the strength he needs this morning to preach this gospel. And I'll give you all a praise and honor. May somebody come and decide to follow you as your friend and our friend. It's in your holy name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Now I want to use a subject this morning. A covenant relationship with God extends an unselfish love for one another. A covenant relationship with God extends an unselfish love for one another. In thinking about this sermon, I thought about friendship. I don't know if you have a friend. I don't know if you consider the person that's attracted to you as a friend or friendship. But I do know what a friend is. A friend will stick closer than a brother. A friend will keep your secrets, your secrets' secrets. A friend will come to your aid and assistance when you need him. Can I get a witness? A friend is one that you can depend on when the tough get tougher, and the road get narrower, and the storm of life come. I wish I had a witness this morning. If I was about 10 years younger, I could preach this thing. I can tell you about the road that I traveled. I can tell you about my ups and downs and my trials and tribulations. I can tell you on the journey that I started when I thought I had a friend. And when I needed a friend mostly, and when I found Jesus. He has never failed me yet. And I'm here to tell you, trust him. Well, I don't look at the crowd no more. I used to. I said, where are they, Lord? Where are they? I don't look at that no more. You know who I look at? It's Jesus. I look at him as my friend. The songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs are bad. What a privilege it is to carry. Everything. Not anything, a little thing, but everything to God in prayer. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. Now, a covenant, y'all know what it is? It's a mutual agreement between two or more persons. Now, you can make it up if you want to. I see some people in here that I think I call my friend. Been friend a long time. I believe that I can put my trust in, y'all. Not saying something. Can I get a witness this morning? It's a covenant, a mutual agreement between two or more persons to do or refrain from doing certain things. A commitment in the person to do or refrain from doing certain things. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, there are three different types of covenants. Number one, a two-sided covenant. Two human parties accepted voluntarily. In 1 Samuel 8, 3 and 3 and 4, we'll find that. Number two, a one-sided disposition imposed by superior to party in Ezekiel 17, 13, which God commands a covenant with man is to obey. Amen. His covenant is it's imposed on us to obey him. I know we sometimes are stiff-necked and hard-headed. We don't want to obey nobody. But we will obey God when the deal comes down to the final word. I know I'm a living witness on that. Number three, God's self-imposed obligation for a reconciliation of sinners to himself. Somebody say amen. Amen. Found that in Deuteronomy 7:8. Now, this message begins with the Israelites asking the prophet Samuel for a king to judge us. Amen. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Lord, they're asking for a king. Lord, I thought that you were enough for them, Lord. I thought that everything, Heavenly Father, they needed that you gave. Lord, I thought that when they wanted bread, you gave them bread. When they wanted water, Moses smote the rock and water. Lord, I thought you gave them everything. And you know what the Lord said? Heed the voice of the people. Give them what they want. Well, they have not rejected you. Y'all hear me now. But they have rejected me. Somebody say amen. Amen. That I should not reign over them. And then the Lord God told Samuel what a king would do. He said, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to take their sons and make use for his purpose. His daughters. They're going to make cooks out of them. And bakers. And they're going to make bakers out of them. He's going to take their crops away from them. To his and make give them to his servants for his own benefit. My brothers and my sisters, God gave them what they wanted. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now the Bible says Samuel anointed Saul as king, and by his disobedience and his transgression, the Lord rejected him as king. Amen, somebody. And by his disobedience and transgression, the Lord regretted making Samuel as the king. And then Samuel said to him, I will not return with you. I'm not going back with you. For you have rejected the word of the Lord. Amen. 15:25. Now, we can do that all we want to. But I tell you, we'll suffer in the end. We talked about the prodigal son this morning. As the prodigal son realized that he asked for all that he had in his father's house. He wanted to go out and bust a move. And he wanted to go out and mix with the young women. And he wanted to burn the candle at two ends. Y'all ever been there? I thought I was grown when I went out there like that. I thought I was grown when I started going to the happy hour and all that. And I've been broke and busted and not been trusted. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And so I'm not getting into the prodigal son. Y'all studied about that. Samuel said, I ain't going back with you. You rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected you from being king. Y'all praying with me? Now, I thought about that too. Whys and the whims and the whens, and how the Lord rejected him as king of Israel. Verse 27 says, and when Samuel turned away from him, Saul grabbed the edge of his robe and tore it. And Samuel said, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you, amen, and has given it to your neighbor of yours, who is better than you, amen. And now it's too late for him to do otherwise or do the right thing. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says in the 15th verse, in the 15th chapter, 35th verse, Samuel mourns for Saul, and the Lord regretted making him a king. To move right along with the message, Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And this is what I like, y'all, when I studied it. I thought about me when the Lord called me to the ministry. I asked the Lord, why you called me, Lord? I don't want to preach. I want to do my thing. I know what I had to do. So when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, Jesse, I know you want this one right here. Oh, he had them big muscles and big robots. He said, oh, this is one. Samuel said, no, that ain't the one. Went on down the line. And Samuel said, you got another one? See, I got one out in the field, tending the sheep. Samuel said, bring him to me. And these are the words of the Lord. I have provided myself a king among these sons. Samuel was afraid to go. He was afraid that if Saul hears about this, he would kill him. The Lord says, take a heifer with you and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And you call Jesse, and I will show you what I want you to do. And you will anoint unto me whom I name. All the elders trembled when he came. Amen. They thought he was going to bring condemnation down upon them. You come in peace. And they said, yes. All came to the sacrifice. God is all right this morning, ain't he? The shepherd boy David was anointed as Israel's next king. I want to preach about three things, and I'll take my seat. The first thing I want to preach about is comprehending mutual friendship together. How do you do that, preacher? Well, you got to realize what a mutual friend is. We come together, you call it fellowship of praise. Reverend Allen put it so discreetly. Can you think about the fact that as we come, we got to open our hearts to one another. When we come into the church, there was a little lady sitting on the side of the street. Matter of fact, she was halfway in the street and on the curb. My wife was praying, and I asked her, I said, there's a lady out there sitting on the ground. So I've been sitting in the car waiting the time to come to church. I said, no, we got to go out there and see about her. I'm trying to give you a picture this morning. What if I said there's a lady out there and we're coming on in the church? I don't care what she was thinking about. She was sitting on the ground, y'all. Can y'all understand what I'm trying to say in the preaching this morning? About a mutual friendship together, agreeing together that we need to be a friend to each other. That's what the church is all about. You can look back these past 90 years. I hear you talk about that all the time. But look back how we come from. The times when we used to come and break bread together, and how we used to laugh and drink punch, the children would give, do all kind of things. We all had a good time. Friendship, mutual friendship. Nobody got mad at one another. Everybody was on one accord. Mutual friendship together. Amen, somebody. I wish I had a praying church to realize what I'm trying to say this morning. Comprehending a mutual friendship together. That's where it's going to be in heaven. Ain't going to be no big eyes and little U's. When we come together in heaven, what a good time we'll have. Won't be no PhDs and punching hot dogs, and won't be no doctors and lawyers to exemplify where you come from. We have one God, one Savior, one Holy Ghost. We have all the saints of God there and all the 420 elders. We have all the church there gathering together, sitting on a beatific throne of God, wanting to be a happy time in a mutual friendship serving the Lord. Can I get a witness this morning? Saul is no longer the apple of the apple of the Lord's eye. It's just a matter of time the change is going to be made. Glory to God. When David would take away his kingship, anybody praying with me? When the women danced and sang in chapter 18, 7 through 9, Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000. Made him very angry from that day forward to the time he planned to kill David. Amen? My brothers and my sisters, in my search for a good understanding for this message, I tell you what I found out. That's what I try to find out in every message. How is it going to fit the church? How is it going to fit me? How am I going to apply it to my life? I'm going to tell you that it will suit your life. How can you get over that in the beginning of David being anointed as king, he is on the run trying to escape Saul's plan to take away his life. And then I came to the conclusion that God had his back, and it was Saul who walked on sinking sand. In my text in the 20th chapter in the 16th verse, we will find David's best friend, who is Jonathan. Jonathan could have been in the line of the kingship since his daddy was king, but he didn't think about himself. He thought about David being his friend. And that's my number 2 point. The Bible says, behold. One word, behold. What does that behold mean? It means come to attention. Y'all listen, when I say behold, it's something not you put your hand on. Behold. Looking for a friend that can be held. Sometimes a good handshake. Sometimes we'll let you know that if you got a firm shake, that this is a friend of mine. What it does, it extends an unselfish love for one another. And sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, it may appear to us there is but a step between us and death. And at any time it may be so that we should prepare for it to happen. But I stop by to tell you, we can't die until the purpose of God concerning us is accomplished. Nor until we have served our generation according to his will. That is, if we are born again believers. Amen. Well, what has this to do with the church, preacher? Well, there should be testimonies all over the church. Somebody ought to say that I got a friend in Jesus. Somebody ought to say I wandered far away from home, but now I'm coming home. Somebody ought to testify about the goodness of God and about his friendship. How I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, then the master of the plain heard my despairing cry. And from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. You know what? Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Our love for God and our brothers and our sisters in the church will exemplify where we're going and where we're coming from. Let the church say amen. Amen. But we got to keep God's command as our promise keepers to love one another. If you can't do that, how can you be a Christian? The Lord said, how can you say you love me and you ain't never seen me? And your brother here on earth and you turn your back on him. I wish I had a little more energy this morning to preach this thing. God, I'd like to let you know that I'm a friend of a friend of a friend. That I need somebody to say, hello, friend. I need somebody to say, let's march on to glory together. I need somebody to say, join hands together and lift them up high. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. We got to love one another. The songwriter says, when I was lifted, thinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. In the master of the pain, heard my despairing cry. From the water lifted me, I say, am I? Oh, sing it. Y'all sing it. Yeah. Grace and mercy brought me through. When I was sinking, his grace brought me through. When I was down to my last dime, grace brought me through. When I was in the hospital, grace brought me through. When I was out, thought I was losing my mind, grace brought me through. When I was on the lonely highway, grace brought me through. When I had to go to the courthouse, grace brought me through. I've been to the White House, grace brought me through. I've been to the poorhouse, grace brought me through. But you know what I discovered in the text of this text? That a covenant of true relationship, of friendship between David and Jonathan. Yeah. When the question was asked, what have I done? What is my sin? That's what David asked. Innocent of the fact, y'all. He hadn't done nothing, but Saul wanted to kill him. What have I done to your father, Jonathan, that he wanted to kill me? Jonathan said, oh, he ain't going to do nothing without telling me first. He's not going to hide it from me, church. A whole lot of people have found themselves in danger. Yes, they have. When their adversaries are jealousy of them, amen. Somebody, and that's my third point. Y'all going to help me pray? Or just plain old ungodly people who can't get along with nobody? A little while ago on January 7, 2023 in Memphis, Tennessee, Tyree Nichols asked the same question. What did I do? What did I do? Five black policemen beat him to death. Amen, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Neither do who I'm preaching to, but true friendship rests upon a firm foundation and is able to shut the mouth of selfish ambition and ungodly people who have no respect for one another. I wish I had a prayer in church. The question could ask, who can fully understand the love of Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for rebellious sinners? Yes, yes. Therefore, the whole church ought to have a covenant relationship with God. That reaches to an unselfish love for one another. Amen? Amen. And as I plan to close this message this morning, from the Old Testament reading, it can be a covenant relationship with God and the church. I'm trying to tell somebody this morning, this same love between David and Jonathan ought to be revealed in the house of God in the same way, in the same place. Amen? Amen. Jonathan made a vow. Because of his love for David. He loved him as he loved his own life. Amen. I'm not trying to tell you to do that. Use it on your own discretion. How you love. But love somebody. Amen. Watch this. False friends disappear. True friends reappear. Then the Holy Ghost come in and bring a peace that passes all understanding. Amen, somebody. In closing this morning, in the first epistle of Peter, in the first chapter, beginning with the 13th verse, we will find Peter's exhortation of mindful thoughts. Amen. Here's what he said. Be sober. Watch out for spiritual dangers and enemies. Church, be temperate in all behaviors. That is to say, as children of God, have a mind to act right and pray right. Be the best that you can be. Amen. We have to practice what we preach. Am I right about it? Amen. Be humble in all judgments of ourselves. Amen? Amen. Having a strong and perfect trust in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Can you give God some praise? Amen. In a strong church of believing children of God, holiness should be first priority. It's our desire and duty of every Christian. Amen. Well, preacher, how can this covenant relationship with God extend itself as love for tabernacle? Well, we can understand it better by and by with God's word in the 17th chapter of 1 Peter. Having complete confidence in God as our Heavenly Father and awful fear of Him as judge, we can be agreeable without being disagreeable at all times. Can I get a witness? We can be very sure if we do the wrong thing, God will correct us in His own way, in His own time. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. The Bible says in the 20th chapter, 11 to 23, Jonathan faithfully promised that he would let David know how he found his father's intention toward him. And as he said, as for the matter which you and I have spoken of indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. My brothers and my sisters, Jonathan did well for himself and family to secure an interest in David, you would have thought he would have an interest in the kingship, being next in line as king. And yet, for this, he is blamed. It is good to take God's people for our people, amen? It will prove to our advantage at last, however. It may be thought against our interest. Saul was outrageous. What savage beast and worse does anger make men? Anybody hearing me this morning? A mathematical study is the astrological science of numbers and quantity and space to find reduced numbers to their lowest terms. In a pathfinder explores ways for newer territories in jungles and mountaintops. Amen? A pathologist looks for a cure for a contagious disease that can take away life for you and I. But a man of faith looked to a friend in Jesus, oh, praise his name, to draw him closer to God the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, I want you to know, Jesus is my friend. No matter what I'm going through, amen, he's a good friend that sticks closer than a brother. Can I get a witness? He's always there when I need him, amen. There's no one like him, amen, that can compare. When I'm in trouble, he's my peacemaker. I ain't talking about my gun, but he's my peacemaker. Can you say amen? Amen. He meets my every need. Oh, what a fellowship. Every time I look around, he's there, church. Can you say it? He's my friend. Can you say it? He's my friend. Say it again.
He's my friend.
Say it again. He's my friend. Everybody say it. He's my friend. He's my friend. In the midnight hour, he's my friend. He's my protector in the morning, noon and night, amen. He's a compassionate friend. He took my place on the cross when the devil tried to kill me. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right.
Yes.
All right. All right. Yes. All right. All right. Return. There's not a friend like the moon. Yeah, yeah. Let it go. Nothing else could give all life. church came out. Is there anybody in the house who want to be a friend of Jesus? Is there anybody in the house? He's been a friend to you. He got you up this morning. Anybody in the house want to be a friend of Jesus? Come forward. Or somebody will walk with you if you're afraid to walk.